Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, tonight, one of my favorite stories in the Scriptures from Mark chapter 4 about Jesus calming the storm. Many of us are keenly aware that we live in stormy times, and on Martin Luther King Day, it is important for us to remember his courage and his sacrifice in pursuit of a vision that is a fulfillment of biblical justice. He famously said, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." Many of those who speak about racial justice today are pursuing the opposite goal. They want a world where race and skin color are used to judge others. This will never bring the justice that Dr. King pursued. May God grant that those of us who know Jesus will realize that in Christ, there is no racial divide. In Christ, we are one family with one Father, and we need to love one another. God bless you as together we study His Word.
You would please open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. The fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel, we're beginning in verse 35. I'm reading from the Christian Standard Bible. This is God's Word. "On that day, when evening had come, he told them, 'Let's cross over to the other side of the sea.' So they left the crowd and took him along, since he was in the boat, and other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. He was in the stern, sleeping on the cushion. So they woke him up and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care that we're going to die?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, 'Silence! Be still.' The wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?' And they were terrified and asked one another, 'Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him.'" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Jesus is stronger than any force of nature because he's the creator of the universe. Everything that came into existence was created through him. We read in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And without him, nothing was made that has been made." So everything that exists is the creation of God. And therefore, we should not be surprised that God has power that is greater than that which he has created. Now, when you see the force of a Category 5 hurricane, bringing devastation not only to plants, but bringing devastation to all kinds of sturdy structures that were designed to withstand storms, and yet were pummeled by the force of those winds. You see the immense power that is there in nature, and yet God's power is greater. But something else is in play here besides power, and that is authority. If you were to look at a football team out on the field, who would you say has greater power, greater strength, the players or the coach standing on the sidelines? Well, without a doubt, it is the players who have greater power. They can bench press more. They can run faster. They can jump higher. But who has authority? The coach. The little guy with the pot belly is able to say, "Get out!" And the guy has to come back off the field and say to somebody else, "Go in," even when he doesn't feel like it. He can't say to the coach, "Nah, I'm just not feeling it." He's got to do what the coach says. The coach has authority. Well, let me tell you something. In this passage, what we see in play is Jesus' authority. And that's what astounds the disciples. They're trying to figure out, who is this? They had already started following him at his command because early on they decided, this may be the one we've been waiting for. This looks like the Messiah. John the Baptist said, "This is the one." We're seeing some encouraging signs. He's not only teaching us powerful things and speaking with authority, remember that amazed everybody, but he is doing things that nobody could do unless they came from God. So they're impressed and they're following him. But something is about to happen that's going to really shake them up. And that is, not only will there be a storm, but Jesus is going to be asleep in the middle of it. Okay? And they're going to ask a question that often comes to the minds of those who seek to follow Jesus. Does Jesus care? Look at the start. Jesus has been teaching the people. He's been healing people. He's been doing wonderful things. And now, verse 35, on that day when evening had come, he told them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the sea." So they left the crowd and took him along since he was in the boat. He was already in the boat, remember, because from the boat he was able to speak to the crowds without their pressing in on him. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. I don't know how many of you have spent a lot of time on a boat and how many of you have only seen boats in pictures or from the land. But one thing was sure. A little bit of water in your boat, in your canoe, not a problem. Water goes with the territory. But if your boat's being swamped, that means it's in danger of sinking, okay? The waves were coming over the side of the boat where the disciples were, and it was filling up with water. And they looked at the situation. Remember, a bunch of these guys were commercial fishermen. They were in boats for a living before they met Jesus. And so when this is happening, and the water is coming into the boat at such a high rate that they can't get it out as fast as it's coming in, they see the trend, and they think, "We're going to die. We're going to drown." They don't just say, "We're going to get wet." They were already wet. They say, "We're going to drown. We're going to die." And in that moment, it's like, where's Jesus when we need him? Okay? Jesus is resting on a cushion. While they're being bounced around and getting all wet, Jesus is in the stern sleeping on a cushion. Do you ever feel like that's what's happening in your life? You're about to drown, and God seems to be missing. And when you look for him, the reassurance you're given is, "God's on the throne." Well, that must be nice. Okay? But I'm drowning here. Does Jesus even care? Lord, I'd love to have watched the conversation among the disciples about who's going to wake him up, you know? I think we need him right now. We need him. Somebody ought to wake him up. Well, why don't you do it? Oh, I don't want to do it. Somebody's got to wake him. Well, we'll do it together. Let's go down there, okay? We'll go down to the stern and we'll tell Jesus he's got to wake up. Jesus. Well, they had to wake him, okay? He wasn't pretending to be asleep. He was asleep. Jesus, what is it? Don't you care? We're about to drown. We're all going to die. Do you not care? I have felt that way at times. I have felt like we're going to drown and there's no evidence that God cares. Wonderful Christian apologist just died the other day. Age 34, wife and child, praying for God to heal him. And instead, he died. I prayed for that guy. I prayed for his healing. Tons of people prayed for him, and he died. Lord, don't you care? Martha is going to ask the same question elsewhere in the scriptures. When Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus is talking to her, and Martha's doing everything by herself out in the kitchen and feels that this is grossly unfair. And she goes to Jesus and tells him her plight and says, don't you care? If you've never felt that way, either you're not paying attention or you will at some point in the future. Because I'll tell you something. There are times when it seems like God must not care. I know God could answer. I know he has the power. But why is this happening? Why, when we go to have a witnessing event outside of the abortion clinic, is that always going to be the day it rains? I mean, I just don't get it. It doesn't always rain. Sometimes the sun beats down and makes me feel like I'm melting. But, you know, it's just like, God, if you like what we're doing, why don't you give us good weather? Really? Don't you ever feel like God could make it easier for you to do the right thing? I mean, do you not feel that way sometimes? I don't know if I'm supposed to show any expression because it sounds like he's criticizing God. And I don't think I'm supposed to be enthused about that, but he's the pastor, so what am I to do? I'm just telling you, if you're a follower of Jesus and you try to do the right thing, sometimes you will be frustrated and feel like God must not be on my side today. Okay? The disciples asked a question that often comes to those who follow God, and that is, don't you care? Don't you care that we're going to die? They didn't say we're going to get wet. They said we're going to die because that was their fear. Even some fishermen are not good swimmers. And these guys were in a storm that was going to swamp a boat that was designed to make it through the storms. Do you know why they call the Sea of Galilee the Sea of Galilee instead of the lake? Because it's big. It's big. And so they're saying there is no way we can swim to shore, and especially not in this storm. If the boat goes down, we will too. And so we're going to drown. We're going to die. And here's what's interesting. They ask this question of Jesus, and he came to die in order to save us. The one they're talking to is going to save us from death, not from physical death. We're all going to die physically. But he's going to save us from the second death. He says, don't worry about the one who can destroy your body. Be concerned about the one who, having destroyed the body, can cast the soul into hell. Jesus came and bore the wrath that we deserve so that we could be spared eternal death. And they're asking him, don't you care about us? Now, I've made the same mistake, okay? I have asked God stupid questions. I have had a bad attitude at times toward him. But God, in his mercy, continues to meet the needs of people with bad attitudes. Imagine if Jesus had said, no, frankly, since you ask it that way, feel free to die. I'm not going to do anything for you. I mean, he could have. He could have let them go down and he could have walked ashore. This is not a problem for Jesus. He can sleep on the cushion in the middle of the storm because he made all the forces of nature. And so the fact that the boat is in trouble doesn't mean Jesus is in trouble. He can walk on water. They haven't seen that yet, but it's true.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
And he's holding out. So when Jesus is asked this question, he got up and he said to the wind, stop it. And the wind goes. And he said to the sea, be still. And the waves went. All of a sudden, they're sitting there. The wind's not blowing. The waves are not crashing. The storm is over. And they said, oh, that is much better. No. I mean, they're like, ah! We thought the storm was scary. This is bizarre. This is terrifying. And Jesus now starts talking to them. Now, after he has spoken to the storm and it has silenced, when he turns to talk to you, what are you feeling inside? Okay? I mean, I'm feeling like, I'll be quiet. You told them be quiet, I'll be quiet too. Okay? I don't want to mess with you, Jesus. That was really something. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. I've never even heard of anything like that before in my life. That was terrifying. Jesus asked them a question. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? What's he talking about? Faith? What does that have to do with it? Am I just supposed to have positive thinking? This storm will not swamp my boat because I am a good person and people like me. That's not what we're talking about. Faith has to do with trusting God's word. There are various kinds of faith. You can have misplaced faith. You can believe that something is reliable when it's not. One of my favorite episodes from Andy Griffith is Barney buying a car, and they all get in the car to go with him and start down the road, and it turns out that the people who snookered him, telling him it was Grandma's car and she took such good care of it, had lied, and they actually put sawdust in the transmission in order to make it shift more smoothly for a few miles, long enough to sell the car. But there are all kinds of crooks out there, all kinds of people who do things in order to get others to have misplaced faith. If you want to have a solid, reliable faith, you need to put your faith in God's word. Well, what does that have to do with this? Jesus had said something at the top of the story. What did Jesus say that should have changed their expectations? Jesus said, let's go to the other side. If Jesus says, let's go to the other side, guess where you're going to end up? The other side. When Jesus says, we're going to do this, it's going to get done. Even if we have to walk, even if we lose the boat, we're not going to drown, we're going to the other side. But they hadn't caught that at all because after, what was the lesson about last time? Be careful how you listen, Jesus said. Be careful how you listen. Be careful how you listen. Over and over, he says, let him who has ears to hear, hear. And so then Jesus says to them, let's go to the other side. And it doesn't process. I mean, sure, they think, well, okay, we're trying to get to the other side. Trying to get to the other side and going to the other side are not exactly the same thing. If Jesus says we're going to the other side, we're not just trying to get there. We're going. I am so grateful for that because Jesus is the one who says whoever calls on him will be saved. Will be saved. Not might be saved, not has an improved chance of going to heaven. The reason I'm going to heaven is because of Jesus. And I have his promise on that. And therefore, I don't have to be afraid. Even when the storms come. I remember sitting in the den at my house watching on the weather alert as a tornado was headed directly for the ranch. Now, they didn't say Ware's Valley Ranch. They just showed the map, Wine Springs Road, and this thing is headed right toward us. And it's like, and that's us. That's us. That's exactly us. Look, honey, that's our property. Here came a tornado. And you know what the storm did? I wasn't saying, Lord, stop it, please make it turn. But God said, no, not today. And the storm absolutely did a right-hand turn. I mean, it's coming like this. And it made a sharp right-hand turn and went up into the park and took down a gazillion trees. I mean, just all over the place. There was a path of destruction. Could have been here. Could have been our buildings. And I'll tell you something. I wasn't fearful before the wind went the other way. Because, folks, when it's our time to go, it's time to go. Nabil Qureshi, marvelous Christian apologist that I mentioned earlier, faced death unafraid. He didn't want to die. 34-year-old man with a wife and child. He wanted to live. He had a tremendous ministry, and he was praying God would heal him. But he wasn't afraid. He wasn't dishonest and saying, you know, I really don't care. He cared. He asked people to pray. He prayed fervently. But he wasn't afraid. And if you watch the video just days before he died, talking to people and saying, well, it looks as if it's the end. I know that God can even raise the dead. I'm praying that if it please him, he'll grant us a miracle. But either way, I'm going to be okay. Let me tell you something. That is not the witness that I would have chosen for him to have to give. But I'm so grateful that he gave it. Because that is a powerful witness of a man who faced death unafraid. Now, God became one of us in the person of Jesus Christ. And he went to the cross and bore the punishment that we deserve so that we could have eternal life. But he is still saying to those who would follow him, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? And these disciples, they didn't say, oh, sorry, okay, we're not afraid anymore. They were terrified. But the reason is because they were still trying to figure out who he is. You and I should know. This is the very Son of God. And even the wind and the sea obey him. There's nothing you're going to face today or tomorrow or next week or next year that's going to be too big for Jesus. And if it seems to you like he doesn't care because he's not doing what you want him to do, just remember, he has already spoken and said, peace, be still. I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. If you are with Jesus, you're going to be just fine.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.